Welcome to Conspiracy Beer Me. I'm Justin Scrant.
And I'm Shane Smith.
And this is the podcast that you know where comedians drink beer, talk about crazy conspiracies. Today we're talking about the French Alp killings, one of the most bizarre.
Alf?
Alp.
Oh, Alp. Okay.
Beloved alien from. Is that a Fox TV channel show?
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, man, it's crazy.
Yeah, we're off the rails already. Get back into it. It's my fault.
Well, it's the French Alp killings, okay. Also called the Chevelin killings, or sometimes the Annecy shootings.
Okay.
So, it's an unsolved mass murder from 2012.
Okay. They should pick, one name, and more people would know about it.
Well, it's a multi-jurisdictional, so at different places, okay. It's known as different things.
Sure.
You guys are our patrons, so we always like to pull things that are a little bit out of the norm, fun and enjoyable, and we always like to do it with really fun people.
Yeah.
And there's no better person I can imagine to be here than our friend, Aaron Ransom.
What's up, patrons? How is it going?
Up.
What is going on, dudes?
Man, we just recorded a really fun episode that you'll hear
soon.
On Sunday, but man, it was
so good. If you hear any call forwards, that's what we're talking about.
We always do call forwards on this show.
What's a call forward?
It's like when you're calling forward to a joke that we recorded a minute, last episode.
Yeah. Okay.
Won't be released.
It's a callback, and then you switch the episode.
It's a callback of things that haven't been sent to other people.
Yeah. If we do a call forward, you're like, that's funny. Well, then definitely check out the free episode.
All right. It's a marketing scheme.
Yeah, it is.
Fall for it.
Brought to you by the petroleum industry.
It'd be cool if we somehow,
damn.
Because I know that the topics, if I did a call forward in the patron show, which would really be a call back, and then they're like, wait a second, how did you do a call back before it was released, recorded?
It's basically a Christopher Nolan film.
It is.
That's what we're doing.
We've renamed the podcast Tenet.
So we recorded this in 2012 before these murders occurred.
Yes, we did. Before we had a podcast.
Some foreign television show, like BBC or something equivalent, did a just released a 4-part series on this. There was a time when this murder captivated not only Britain for sure, but much of the world. It transpired in September of 2012, so we're coming up shortly on the 10-year anniversary, which is why this is becoming talked about. Well, I thought about waiting on this one, but then I was like, let's once again blaze.
Yeah, no,
because
that was just a joke.
Because my point is that if this can get some traction, then we can re-release it to the free people in September.
I like that. That's a good idea.
So if you guys like this and we get some conversation started on the Discord, you guys love the Discord. I'm terrible at it.
Your last post was after a week of having it on, you're like, I'm just bad.
We gotta figure out
your only
another word for anniversary.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like something about saying the anniversary of Pearl Harbor.
We gotta come up with remembering.
Another word.
I was thinking about this other day in regards to Juneteenth, which we just celebrated. Is that it seems like the trajectory of a holiday is that at first it's some sacred thing to we don't want to forget this,
right?
So we're going to establish this because people died. Then it becomes sort of commercialized for a while,
right,
where people are off work, so retailers try to sell you things because they know you have time. And then it becomes an excuse just to get completely inebriated.
Which Cinco de Mayo started as a real day in America.
This was a day when people died to try to fight off American forces. And then it became Cinco de Mayo, go eat Mexican. And now it's just margarita bucket.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's a really sort of scary trajectory for Juneteenth.
Right? It's Veterans Day. Kids are just puking everywhere.
It's just what do you do for Veterans Day? Fucking jello shots. Yeah, that's
true. I was thinking about this the other day, bringing up Juneteenth. I was literally thinking, people are the media doesn't do anything good for the people. And I was the one thing the media has done in the last couple of years, it was it was a good thing, and I don't even know if they know that they did it, was make sure everybody knew blackface was really bad
before
Juneteenth, because they were about to Cinco de Mayo the shit out of that, and it was just going to be bad. We would not have any white politicians in 20 years, all the frat parties and sorority parties would have been a shit show, dude. Alan's dressed up like Harriet Tubman. Who's taking jello shots on the Underground Railroad beer pong table? And it's just been a shit show, dude.
And the pedals on that railroad don't even work. It's like the trolley pump.
That's awesome.
I think it's good that we have these things, because they're the only people really remembered. I bet America just forgot about holidays like this, and they're like, we got to remind America that Veterans Day or fucking Memorial Day is a thing. Let's give them a deal, too.
Give them a deal. If we're going to have the anniversary of Pearl Harbor, and then somehow it's going to become like, come get a Pearl Harbor bomb at Jackson's. And you're like, it's a shot of sake dropped in Hawaiian
come
punch.
Come play Battleship. Winners get free pitcher of beer.
I think a sake dropped in Hawaiian punch for a Pearl Harbor bomb is like a brilliant shot.
They're playing battle shots.
Yeah, battle shots. And you're like, so that
kamikazes.
Yeah.
Kamikazes. Islanders drink free at Harrison's tonight, tonight.
That would just be called America the Bar.
Right.
That would
this just is just America. America the Bar.
That's a great. Say America the Bar. It wouldn't just be called America. It'd be America the Bar.
This is coming up on the 10-year anniversary. So we got some, we're on the forefront of this mystery. So I'm glad to jump in. 10 years ago, what happened was on the afternoon, a British family who was traveling through the windy pass of the French Alps was found murdered in their car.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It was a couple, their 7-year-old daughter, and then the father's mother. So it was like his
so he mother. Killed himself.
right. In there with three. He killed suicide. It was real casual.
Doing the Catskills later.
And there was a cyclist unrelated to them also murdered at the same time, same location. Just a British.
So no, I think he was a friend.
They were British family, but they're Muslim. They're Islamic.
Okay.
And he was just a French guy on a motorcycle or on a bicycle.
Okay.
Police recovered 25 rounds from the site. The 7-year-old daughter did not die. She was shot in the shoulder and just injured. And then.
So we have a witness. We have like an eyewitness.
Yeah.
No, because she didn't see anything and didn't see anybody.
Because she's blind. It's a tragic story.
There's no peripheral vision in a car seat.
Those fucking kids seats.
Right.
That's why they have those.
Let me clarify. So much. When I say she was shot in the shoulder, I mean the shoulder of each eyeball. So she couldn't see. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
she was
good shot. We're very sensitive on this podcast.
But here, let me just add this.
No, I've been speaking out against the lack of peripheral vision in car seats for years.
I know. They should be little windows.
Yeah. I've been lobbying for this.
I mean, it's like they used to have little windows behind the rearview mirrors on cars.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Some cars still have them, but they're like the little windows. Like, what's the point of the little window? Well, you need the peripheral.
I'll tell you what, man.
No blind spots.
That's right.
I grew up driving an Isuzu pickup truck with one of those little triangle vent mirrors, and those things were the shit.
I don't know what that is.
I think I know what you're talking about.
No, like you had your front window, and then there was this little triangular window, and you had this little latch, and you could spin it. So, like, I'm driving down the highway, it was just blasting 75 mile an hour wind
those
in your
are the
face.
Best.
And it was like, bring that back.
I know. Bring them back.
I'm surprised Tesla doesn't like have that option.
Well, I bet if you crashed, you'd get like a shard of glass through your heart.
That's conclusive evidence. It's not good for you.
It happened thousands of times.
Cars were so much more fun to drive and so much more dangerous at every level of the game.
Yeah. Bring back the bench seat.
Yeah, bring back the single belt buckle.
Dude, the
bench
seat, the front bench
front
seat.
Yes.
Yeah. The front bench seat. I was
I
the
need
Elvis
you.
Movie just dropped. And right. They had in Myrtle Beach or whatever. I'm getting off subject, but just to say that they had a replica of Elvis's car. Mm-hmm. It was like one that was just like it, but a guy had donated it from the area to for the movie or whatever.
Right. Like it didn't smell the same.
And this car, me and my brother measured it. It's 20 foot long.
That's an RV.
This is a 20 foot long, like, Cadillac type car with two bench seats. I swear to God, they look like futons in the front. Dude. This thing was wide. Yeah. I was like, roads weren't even that big back then. You were just like, this is a parade float.
Yeah.
Like it was a boat. That's
Kennedy
how
was in one of those. Like if he had a smaller car, he might not have got shot because they couldn't have seen it. Like he was like, those damn fucking cars.
One thing I should mention, and this will kind of set the stage for where this crazy murder goes, is that the three people in the car, the guy, the bicyclist was shot 7 times all over. The three people in the car were killed with a single headshot.
Whoa. Crazy.
So the bicyclist is dead, and we have a car full of
three people.
Okay,
dead square.
Bicyclist is French.
French. This is a Muslim British family. Okay. And then their daughter. Mm-hmm. They were so. What happens is another cyclist rolls up, a guy named Brett Martin, who's a British Air Force pilot. Mm-hmm. I only mention that because I give a little bit of deference to like British Air Force pilots who are like.
Yeah. Like, it also lets you know they rolled up in aviator sunglasses.
Yeah, totally.
What the hell?
He found a very disoriented 7-year-old daughter, a very disoriented 7-year-old daughter, who was like, the car that the family drove was still running.
Oh, wow.
In this like kind of pull out turnout, right? And so he found their daughter sort of like, in the road, you know, and then he goes up and he's like, you know, here's somebody dying. Here's somebody dead, this cyclist.
Child
in
the car. In the shoulder.
Yeah, yeah. And this, she's bleeding from the shoulder. And then there's three people dead in the car, right? So the murder gets called in and like, and the, you know, investigators come. And originally it's French investigators, but it's a British family. And then eventually the story catches the news and the Britain is like, we got to find this, whoever did this, because it's an awful crime, all right? Now, here's where things start to get bizarre, which is why, right, 10 years later, there's no one ever been arrested. Well, that's not true. There have been people arrested. There's never been anyone charged with this murder. Mm. And at this point, it's essentially the coldest of cold cases. Like, every once in a while,
is a while.
An enthusiast will pick it up.
Like a medium from NBC or something.
Yeah.
I can speak to dead people.
But here's some weird, here's some shit that people find odd. One, Brett Martin never heard any gunshots. And you got to think about like how far away he wasn't far away from
them. Okay, so he could see it happen.
No, he was climbing up. So she was coming up a hill, but like he had to be there within like minutes.
Silencer, man.
But hold that thought, because okay. I think that's the thought, but hold it, because it gets more complicated. Okay. He never heard any shots. Some people say he was going over a bridge and there was like the river water and he wouldn't have heard it. And they say that because based on the firearm that was used. Now, this is where stuff gets weird. Okay. They recovered the bullets and they were like, did ballistics reports. Going into it, there were investigators who were like, this is going to show that there was more than one gun. Well, the ballistics report came back, all the same gun. Mm. And it was like a mid 20th century Swiss Army gun that's like in 2012 is basically.
They used to have guns in those knives?
Yeah.
And a fucking little gun. Like fucking Swiss Army gun? That's dope. I want one. Amazing.
It's a Swiss Army gun. It also has a full. It's got an AED on the side of it.
And a toothpick.
Yeah. It was a Luger.
Shoot those cavities out.
That's right.
Luger P06, if you know anything about guns.
It's a good.
It's so, well, but I don't know about I think they were made in like 1906. And at this point, most of them, it was like the only gun the Swiss Army carried during World War II.
Oh, mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay.
And so again, people are like, this is
it was issued
like, what assassin
military.
Uses like a 90-year-old gun that doesn't have a silencer, you know, system for it.
Apparently a pretty good one.
Well, they're like, it's not even a powerful gun. It's accurate range where you can predictably shoot someone is like 50 yards away at That's most. It. Like, you know, like I was a kid, and like we had like a CO2 pistol. We would go shoot squirrels, but you had to like arc it.
Oh, yeah. So like still,
so really just annoyed the squirrels.
Yeah,
so you can kill them.
Yeah, yeah.
Do this?
So, I mean,
I'm trying to watch people recycling.
Yeah. Call forward.
Yeah. Eight round. It's an 8-round magazine. So that means he had to reload, right? He had to reload a few times to even perform this crime. And so people are like, yeah, that just sounds like someone who just, you know, saw somebody on the side of the road and decided to start just open fire. Hmm.
That's my initial reaction.
Like it's
son
a nut,
of Sam
nut,
type thing.
Nut, nut job, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but here's some other things. The family car was a BMW, still running, right? And then there are
headshots. I forgot you mentioned headshots.
Headshots. Okay. And reverse skid marks.
You ever get one of those in your
shirt? Oh, yeah. No.
How did this get in the front?
Yeah, what the hell?
What did I do last night?
That was so stupid.
First thing I remember, I went to a place called Cowboys and Indians. It was just me and 400 guys. I wake up with reverse skin marks.
What the hell is this?
How hard was that dancing last night?
What the hell?
You know, but like... somehow they could tell that the BMW was in reverse. Like the investigators said.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Hold on. Hold on.
I'm getting some composure. All right.
Deep breaths. In then out.
The investigators said that what it seemed like is that the vehicle was trying to turn around. Mm. Like, I don't know whether they were going up or down the mountain at the time. I mean, you guys get the scene, right? It's like one of these alpine, like they'd race the Tour de France on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the investigators said it looked like they had, like, you know, like to like turn whatever
they
way they were.
They saw this guy. Oh,
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, they saw this guy. Yeah. Oh, shit.
It's that guy with that
and
gun.
And then he shoots the cyclist who just. Fucking bad luck. What just happened to be there?
That's a lot of bullets, though. Because if everyone else was a cold headshot, and he got shot 7 times, he must have said something that pissed him off. He's like, "Give us space. We're on my bicyclist." He's like, "Fuck you."
Share the road.
Yeah, that's what it is. There's a better way to say that. What is the phrase? Share the road. That's it. So,
the police have never arrested anyone. No. Never been able to, sorry, they've never been able to find a killer. They did arrest at one point the father's brother. So he had a brother. And that brother apparently had done a couple things. One was like he had created a fake will for their father so that like he inherited everything.
Oh,
and
wow.
He's definitely a suspect for sure. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. But yeah. They did a lot of work, and he was even like, "I absolutely had nothing to do with my brother's death, and I'll take a lie detector test. I'll do anything." And eventually, police were like, "Yeah, he didn't do it. We cleared him on it. Yeah. Like whatever his alibi was good enough." And they've had several people like that, where people got suspicious and were like, "Okay, we maybe think it's this person, but then like
nothing
does not pan out. They cannot put them at the scene of the
crime." It's hard to be a detective.
I mean, 2012. There's a lot of information.
It's all in an hour.
Well,
Batman made it look really easy.
Yeah,
you just gotta put makeup on. Later reports, like the media at different times has been sort of obsessed with this case, and there have been some leaked information. And one is that a motorcycle at the same time, cars on the road reported seeing a motorcycle. With a man with a strange, an odd shaped helmet and a goatee.
His helmet shaped like a gun.
Yeah. A Luger, 1906. Yeah,
Luger.
Swiss.
From the 1900s. I love that he didn't have that much yards, range. Well, you can't do much with that gun.
I love that they showed him like they all like as a goateed man because that's so just stereotypical villain. Yeah,
it's like Rocky and Bullwinkle. What's a dastardly, what's his name? He's got one of those mustaches.
Yeah, but you know that scene, it's kind of comes up in a lot of spy type action movies where like they put in the call for a hit and like all these spies all over the world get like a
John Wick.
And they're like, and they all show and it's
foreign
like,
dignitary.
Yeah. There's always like a goatee guy. Like they cut, there's always like a Middle Eastern guy that's like, espresso on some rooftop.
Well, he's playing craps and he's got two girls on each shoulder. Yeah. Like not taking these ones.
Yeah, I think goatees are used to make someone look mean. Right?
Yeah, like Doctor Strange has this kind of.
There's something. What's the word?
Nefarious.
Swarmy. Yeah.
That's
a swarmy dude.
Yeah, goatees were in.
Which is weird that two Marvel characters have them.
Yeah,
Doctor Strange and Tony Stark.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Goatees.
The Hulk should get one.
The Hulk should have a sweet ass
handlebar.
Braided
green handlebar.
Like James Hetfield.
Okay. So the other thing that was seen, multiple people saw, was a BMW, I think an i5. Is that their SUV? I think it is. 4x4.
X5.
Sorry. That's Apple's new SUV.
BMW times 5.
Well, BMW does have an i3 and an i7, but no i5.
That's why I said, okay, so it's an X5 4x4. But here's the interesting thing that people reported. It was a right-handed...
Oh. Tell me, that motherfucker drove from America?
Yeah, it was like kind of a weird... Like it was... So people... That's why it was noticeable. They're like, the only reason I remember it is because the, you know, steering was on the wrong side of the road. And this goateed guy. So police investigated it.
And she's 18 years old now. That's what I want to tell. Not to be creepy. I didn't mean
No.
I'm saying is this a grown
No, 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 no. She's 10 years ago.
What I'm saying is like she's grown enough now to maybe be able to think about the events. You know,
oh,
like
yeah,
maybe
I'm sure.
I don't. I cannot imagine or fathom what it's like to experience that.
That's
going to
be
trauma.
Fucking horrible.
That's insane.
Yeah, thankful for that car seat.
I can't.
Whatever we gave her the blinders.
Okay, so here is the theories on this that the police have come up with, and also like people like us. One is that the lone psychopath theory, which we talked about, which is
that's what I'm
a lot of people.
Towards.
A lot of people have said.
There.
People
there.
Just said like, look, this is just a murder. It's like
I mean, they're leaning towards lone psychopath or biker trying to get into a bike gang.
Oh, that's
by
a that's
murder.
A,
that's what I'm
oh,
thinking.
Oh, yeah,
that's what I'm thinking. Like you know, gangs. Yeah, like, yeah. They'll go perform
a hit. I don't think that's a thing in the French Alps.
Maybe man, not. There's gangs everywhere, man.
I agree, but everywhere. The French Alps,
dude.
That's like saying French Alps is probably a good drug running.
Right, but how?
Yeah,
how
it's
is
like
the
Humboldt County, man. All mountains. There's a lot of fucking.
Probably good drug running. How is a place like the French Alps devolved to such a point where you need the safety and protection of a motorcycle gang? Like you have free health care and shit. Like
true. That's true.
I mean, like I think that gangs are born out of necessity. I don't just don't see it. That's
true.
Like one of the richest, most beautiful places in the world.
But I would think that I don't know. I'd have to look at which road. Like, does it?
No,
does the road combine two cities that need meth?
Swiss are built on dirty money.
What do they know about the family?
Okay, well, we're getting there. We're getting there.
I'm thinking the dad was into some shady shit.
Okay, well that he was.
Yeah.
Okay. The other theory, and by the way, on the lone psychopath theory, there is one serial killer that many people think was responsible. He's been apprehended, and he's been accredited with lots of deaths. But I think what happens when they get a serial killer is two things. One is serial killers like to be a little coy about their body count, right? Yeah. And I mean that literally as their body count, not the way it's used today. You know, the girl's like, "What's your body count?" You're like, four. She's like, "You've screwed four people." And you're like,
screwed.
Well, 13,
including the four. Never mind.
Yeah.
Half were dead. They didn't
before or after.
Yeah.
Before, okay.
Only about 50% of them were.
Yeah.
So I think one serial killers like to like sort of because if you're going to life in prison are going to be executed, why not take a little extra credit? Because for the remainder of your like solitary confinement life, the sole measure of your character, how much middle class
cred.
White women are going to want to fuck you.
Did you
have a bit about this? I think you have a bit about this. No matter how much they want to fuck you, like it's all based on your body count. How many people have you killed? If you go into court and you're like, Mr. Scranton's killed 137 people. I'm going to have a galley of women for some reason.
Yeah, for sure.
They want to fuck. For sure.
But then there's the one of them is like, I want 138, but this will do.
Yeah, right.
I was also thinking, this is completely tangential, but it's like, if I were like to kill a person, like just snap or something like that, it's like, I would eat them. Just so like, because if you kill them, you're just in prison. But if you eat them, then you can be like, and I've done more. Yeah. And then they study you. So they'll just be like, the psychologist wants to talk to you, and you're like, not until I get some Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah, they give
you
snacks.
Yeah, they do it like Hannibal Lecter.
I think that's what serial killers do. And then on the other side, you've got these cops that are under tremendous pressure to solve these sort of outstanding cold cases.
Yeah, confirmation bias.
Yeah.
They're
eating everybody they kill.
They're you think this guy could have had a part in it? And then you go talk to him, and he's like, yeah, I've been in the Swiss Alps. When were you there? It's hard to remember.
What
happened? Tell me what happened.
That sounds familiar.
Was the daughter alive? They're like that.
I just think it's like I've had my yogurt.
Yeah, right. Like I'll take credit for this, officer.
Just using it for snacks.
So
until I've had some Welch's.
So that's also on the table. Here's another theory that people have posited because, and you can understand what we got here because we're going to talk about the family in a second. But 5-6 years into when like people were like. looking at the family that was killed, they were like, wait a second, maybe he wasn't after the family. The family happened to just be there. Maybe they were the witnesses, and the cyclist was the victim.
Oh, man, yeah. That's cool. See, that's what I'm saying. I think the cyclist had, there was more hate to it. They're like, fuck that guy. I want him dead.
Seven
shots. And the other people are like, listen, I'm sorry you saw this. I'm going to do this nice and clean. It's not going to hurt. I'm going to shoot you right in the temple. We'll be done.
The theory is that the cyclist was the target.
It's a good theory. Mm-hmm.
They say that he was having, here's what happened. In 2014, there was a French legionnaire who killed himself mysteriously, like no note, nothing. And the people are like, why would this guy kill himself? Like mm-hmm. he had it all. So they dug into it, and that French legionnaire was having an affair with the cyclist's sister who was married. Mm. And the theory is that the legionnaire feared exposure by the cyclist. So he was like, I'm going to go. And this guy had obviously knowledge of weaponry and all this stuff. So mm-hmm. he's like, I'm going to follow this guy on his bike ride in the Alps. And when he's coming up a hill, I'm going to just fucking kill him. Mm-hmm. And then the family.
I'm just saying, like a bicyclist with a motorcyclist with a goatee. Like, as a movie, you just see the cyclist like pedaling and shows him, and it's like, bum, bum.
He's right behind him, like,
yeah. He's just climbing.
What is
slowly
going on?
Yeah.
What is this? Bum, bum. And like, why does he have a helmet shaped like a gun?
So he
keeps doing this cutthroat thing. Yeah,
because he's got a gun. He should be doing the trigger thing.
Yeah, but he keeps doing this. Yeah. Like he's gonna slice my throat.
Yeah, why is the slicing throat the like more mean than just like pulling a trigger on your finger? He's like, no, I'll shoot you. You? Yeah, this is it's more elegant, I guess.
This is nice.
Yeah, it's more like, listen, it's care enough about you to do it nice.
And it holds up. It's one of the hand gestures that hold up, that and like the middle finger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They just hold up from a long time ago.
They do.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a big fan of the thumbs up. It's my favorite.
Thumbs up's good.
I bite my nail. Yeah. I'm like,
You bite your thumb at me, sir?
Yeah, that's what I do.
Okay, well, that's theory number one. The cyclist was the actual target.
That's a good theory.
Yeah, I like that one.
Like,
you know,
he did this sort of sloppy killing with a freaking antique gun, and he was like, shit, these freaking family just pulled in. Mm-hmm. Got to take them out too. Then he's like, I can't kill a 7-year-old daughter.
So he was sleeping with his sister.
He's sleeping with the cyclist sister. And then in 2014, he caught wind that the police were on to him. And so he just was like, instead of facing the music, I'll just kill myself.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. That's
I like that one.
Yeah, that's pretty
good. Okay.
Makes logical sense.
Then there's people that believe that the father, Saeed Al-Hilay, right? Mm-hmm. Was the target.
Okay.
He has a very mysterious work history. There is a time where he was a contractor for whoever makes the Airbus. What's that company's name? EADS, EADS. It's like that stands for something.
Okay.
But he worked for them, and they have a lot of ties with, I don't know how to say it, military type folks. So they think there was something that top secret that he was doing for them, because what he does for these companies has never been disclosed. Mm. But he's like, he's worked for these companies. And the other one that people point at is the Rutherford Appleton Lab, which is British version of like the lab where they make all the wonderful toys. Like they just make a lot of stuff. And like a lot of
like drone type toys, or like
they've been at it for like, I think
Tyco RC
like science fiction movies in like early stage of science fiction would go there to shoot scenes, because it was like the place where like some of Space Odyssey was shot at the Rutherford Apple. They made sets for them and stuff. They just have always had on the forefront of technology, people are like, yeah, that's really what. This guy's past has some stuff. Like, it's secretive. It's hard to figure out what he does. All that stuff. They're like, this is weird.
And he's been involved in some things that are
People are like, this guy's done some stuff that doesn't make sense. This is weird.
He's had his fingers in.
And then as they're like, well, let's trace back his steps. Now, I've read two conflicting accounts. They aren't that different, but they're different enough that I'll point them out. Is that one account said that, like, he went to Geneva the day before they were killed and went to a couple different banks and, like, made inquiries. Some people reported that he contacted different banks in Geneva and that they were just biding time in the area until they went to those banks tomorrow, the next day. But in either scenario, it's been confirmed that he was in contact with Genevan banks that either housed his father's fortune. And in one theory of the story, the plan was they were going to go to Geneva and get enough money to, like, get new identities and get out of town because they knew they were being pursued.
The only thing about that is I don't really think a guy who's in the throes of the anxiety of, like, doing espionage or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Or like he wouldn't have had his family with him. You get what I mean? Like, there's a part of, like, having his entire family with him.
But what is
that, like, absolves him from doing? I'm not saying he hadn't done it, but I don't think, like,
if I'm
afraid I'm going to get killed, I'm not be like, hey guys, you want to go to the fair?
Right. That's when you, like, you'd be like, you love something, you let it go. You'd be like, you're a bad family member. Get out of here.
Yeah. I'm like, it's kind of like getting a divorce or running away.
I'm thinking of that scene in.
But I don't have a family, so I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm
me neither.
Thinking of that scene in, like, I don't know what the wife and kids. I don't know which one. I think it's the second Bourne where he's, like, living on the beach with that girl that he loves.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, the most minor thing happens. He's like, where you been? She's like, oh, I stopped to talk to a guy in the market. He's like, let's go. We gotta go.
You talk to somebody.
Like, it's like I think if he really was, like, if you're one of those people.
Somebody made him feel safe.
Yes.
Yeah. He was on the run. He was on. Yeah. He was hiding out and felt very comfortable. Like, the fact that he wasn't living in this area, I would have to know more about him as as a person.
Now that I think about this, the foolish thing is, and maybe it's just I don't understand money at this level, but if you have a past or a life where it's like, I have this great life and it's all because of this, and if this crumbles, my life and my family's life is in jeopardy.
Yeah, like the witness protection program. Yeah,
like if you're in that life,
like one person recognizes me from my old neighborhood.
Yes, I like
in the Bronx or whatever. And now that I'm out here,
it's like I found a Mobro.
Seriously, it's like I don't. There's something about that mindset just that I don't understand. Like, I called somebody a name in high school and still think about it.
Yeah,
you get what I mean?
Right,
so it's like murdered people's families, and then they're just like, tell on everybody, so now everybody hates you, and we'll move you to New Mexico. There's no way I would ever be able to just be like out fishing with my son, just like, let your old man show you how to put some bait on it. Like, there's no way I'd ever be able to relax.
I'd never be able to relax. And in some regards, I don't think people in that situation can. But here's what I would say is if you are in that situation, you've got a box, you've got a luggage in your house.
Or under concrete in your garage.
They always keep it.
They keep their favorite gun.
Yeah.
Or just like
laid on top of photos.
Or just a fucking like if we need to get new identities, they're already in this briefcase. Like, we're set. Like, you don't fucking live that life. And then, like, all right, we got to get out of town and then find new identities. You have that lined up for your family.
Right? It's like if you're like, I'm not a prepper anymore, but we do have the essentials and it's the warehouse.
Well, my thing is, like, what I'm thinking is with him, with his family, he thought he was safe. Because usually, like, if you're like, when it all comes crumbling down, you're like, flush the cocaine down the toilet. You and the kids and your ma, y'all take the car. I want y'all to go here. Right. I'm going this way.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
do the cocaine.
You
know,
he dies alone.
I would go down with the ship myself.
Yeah.
You're going to go down with your whole family?
No. I'm saying,
hey, Justin's family?
No,
if he ever
I'm put my family on the life raft.
No, that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. Like, if
yeah, you go down with
he
the ship
felt
for sure.
safe
yes.
to have his family with
yes.
him. So he felt like the ruse was still alive in his brain. So somebody came to kill him, he felt safe.
There is another leaked report, again, because the media has been involved in digging, that I should almost save this revelation for the end, but I'll do it now because there's even a better one.
Oh,
for the next.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited. He's calling. He's fucking. That's like calling Babe Ruth pointing at this. Yeah, home run. I got a better one coming. What's it? Just
it's
watch.
Been leaked that the bank accounts that he either visited or called about belong to. I'll give you one guess each.
Donald Trump.
That'd be shit. So cool if it was. Yeah.
What?
It's better.
Okay.
Oh.
2012.
Jesus.
Oh, 2012. Oh, Hillary Clinton.
Saddam Hussein.
Oh! That's better. I like that one better. Where did he end up?
What's he doing now? He had some connection to Saddam Hussein. Right. And remember, like, 2012 is the height of the war. And Saddam Hussein, we found him not long after that and killed him. This is usually when like a patron fact checks me and they're like, actually, Saddam Hussein died in 2008 because I really don't know. I didn't look it up for the pod.
Because as you're talking, I'm just not mad. Like, everything he says is fact. Yeah, most people don't. I'm not even like, going to look this up either.
Yeah, I should probably do my own.
Guess what? He did die in 2006.
Oh, good. there you go.
So maybe they were his bank
accounts.
You
did your research. That's good.
Maybe they did their bank
accounts. But the real Saddam Hussein did not die.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So he was never killed.
Look, that would make sense because people believe that Saddam Hussein that was killed was actually like one of his impersonators.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
He was like an Elvis impersonator.
So maybe this guy was the go-between between Saddam and his bank accounts and
his karaoke.
I just thought about like, ladies and gentlemen, Saddam.
That's hilarious.
Or like the Saddam Hussein that hangs outside of like on Hollywood Boulevard or whatever. Like all they have like superheroes dressed up, but the guys is Saddam.
I was thinking
Hussein.
Of a Saddam Hussein Eminem spoof. You know, like I'm the real Slim Shady, but it's like Saddam Hussein dressed up with all the Saddam Hussein people. Like there'll never be another one like me.
That's right.
It is really funny that you have like Spider-Man, like Daffy Duck, all these cartoon characters, and then like an actual historical figure on the Hollywood Boulevard.
Like, am I a joke to you? Am I a cartoon?
Yeah. And we're like, well, this was all staged by the U.S. military in order to invade your country and take your petroleum so we could make plastics.
Yeah.
Call forward.
But you can have them on your T-shirt.
I mean, it's so funny.
It's cool.
When I was in high school, we would go to the state fair. So I graduated in 1991. I know I'm old.
Damn.
And this has changed over the years, but it's the same booth, North Carolina State Fair in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's basically you go up and you rent a paintball gun and fire paintball shots as a guy who's dressed up as whoever America hates at the moment.
Yeah.
So and when I was a kid, it was Saddam Hussein, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure before then it probably was even more racist and stereotypical back in the 50s, right?
Sure.
But like we walked up and we paid a couple bucks and they gave us a gun and we just shot. And then I'm sure it was Osama bin Laden at some point. I'm sure it was Hillary
Back
Clinton
in the 50s,
at some point.
They weren't dressed up. They just
right. No,
it's like, wait a minute.
That's why I had to quit going to the state fair because
got real sad.
It's all the food is all kind of fun and antiquated. And then you're like, wait a second. This is really, really
well.
Racist
the South's good at like sneaking in some stuff where you're like, what in the hell are we doing right
like,
now?
What are these stickers people are wearing?
Who can unlock the chastity belt on the Virgin? You're like, what is happening?
That's weird.
Yeah, like, state fair.
Let me guess your religion, and if I'm wrong, you're burning.
I remember my
Christian.
I graduated my senior year, they had this thing called Project
Runway.
No, oh, what's it called?
Mayhem.
Yeah, it's basically like
we made soap
countywide graduation party.
Okay,
and it's like alcohol free, and so
sounds fun.
They just like blow it out with like tons of stuff. But they, I'm embarrassed to say this, but I'm going to tell the story.
Oh boy!
Again, 1991 is like they had all these contests, you know, like just typical stuff: three water balloon tossing contest, blah blah blah. They had a watermelon eating contest.
Oh, God, I was about to say
Did
that
they
word.
Really?
They I had a like, watermelon eating contest, which I participated in, because, I mean, who doesn't love watermelon? But I distinctly remember the picture recruiting people for the watermelon. It was like a poster, like, what? In retrospect, I'm like, oh, this was like a...
Insensitive. It was just so
This was something they said, like, oh, we'll do something for the African-American students there, and they're like, what? Like, watermelon.
That's crazy.
It's really what it was.
Which a lot of time liberalism kind of starts like that.
Yeah,
like, it's like, what can we do? And then it just becomes kind of like insensitive. Like, it's like, we want to do something to help, but we're so kind of, we don't know anything about what we're trying to help. So we just kind of do it wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that happens with liberals a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Is not that, even in a bad way or a good way, but it's just like, yeah, it seems to happen a lot.
Do you think that's just what the fair is misguided liberals?
Or is that what
Let
I'm
saying? Let me guess your weight.
Well, no, I'm talking about like college graduations where they're like, why don't we just have a white graduation and we'll give black people their own graduation?
Right.
And it's like the liberal will think stuff like that. And you're like, you just literally made segregation. Yeah, you segregated. Meant it to be a good thing, but it's misguided.
Yeah, yeah,
you're
exactly.
very misguided at what you're trying to do.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. I used to have, in fact, first night ever doing comedy, March 2017, I did this bit about having segregated homecoming queens in Wake County, North Carolina, in the 1990s.
They had it?
Yeah. Yes. In the 90s. But it was a progressive idea, but not really.
Yeah.
So like, here's what would happen. I went to predominantly white high school. We had a black homecoming queen every year.
Because progressive ideas usually just kind of, there's a part where they are just freshly peeled off of Republican views.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where they just start to break away. Where it still looks pretty bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right. And so the idea is that black girls were winning because you'd have homecoming court of eight. There's one white girl. I'm sorry, there's one black girl and seven white girls. So the white girls split the white.
So it looks like a token almost.
And then
like
the black girl gets
token of gratitude.
All the black kids would vote for that one African-American woman on this. And so she won every year.
Okay.
So then they were like, let's split it into two so it's more fair. We'll have two homecoming queens, a minority, and then like a white homecoming.
They're doing it based on statistics.
Yes. And in fact, and we were sort of talking about this, I have a friend who's got a great story.
So black chicks were winning every year.
Winning every year. Crushing. So then they gerrymandered the districts and made like so white people could still win one and black people could still win
it's
one.
It's like having a white NBA.
You
want a white MVP.
Yeah, right. I mean, it kind of is. I mean, in a way it is. Yeah. And my friend, who's Egyptian, Sharif, he ran for minority homecoming king at Sanderson High School in Raleigh, North Carolina in 1990.
They had a thing called minority homecoming.
It was called minority homecoming king.
Crazy.
And he was not allowed to run. And he was like, I don't understand. They're like, well, you're Egyptian. You're not African-American. And he's like, I'm literally from Africa.
That's insane.
And live in America. And this guy said, you're not black enough.
Now, misguided listen, liberal bigotry.
I agree with you. There is a perspective where I can see the African-American community's point, which is you're not part of this shared experience.
Yeah, y'all don't know how to help us the way we know how to help
right.
us.
Like,
right.
You're not like we get you're technically African-American, but this goal was to help people who were in this situation, which you've never been a part of. Like you're more of an immigrant American than you are an African-American.
Right.
Like, your parents migrated here from Egypt. You're second generation American.
Okay.
You're not part of this experience.
Yeah.
That's what they mean, but to say like you're not black enough.
Yeah. Your culture is not what we're trying to affect.
Or just how you immigrated to this country. It's not you were not forced
to
be here.
You were forced to be here. You came here for the opportunities. We were forced. I get kind of both sides of the story.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. It comes from like the road to hell is paved with good intentions. That's kind of like, you know what I mean? So it's like.
That's why heaven is all sin. So I'm getting there quick.
We got to walk steps to be there. It's very ableist.
I can retrace the steps, reverse skid mark back to where we lost the trail. Where?
I don't know. That was like 30 minutes ago. I don't know.
We were talking about Saddam Hussein and about shooting him at the state fair and how that's probably now, like, I don't know who it is now, but like, you know, if Trump ends up getting pinned for January 6th, it'll probably be Trump eventually. We'll just normalize like hating him. It's just weird.
Yeah, I'd eventually say like, because there are people that like Nixon, and then they just didn't talk about it anymore.
Right.
It's like, oh, I'm on the wrong side.
Or like Nixon's face and image became like,
crook.
I'm not a crook. Like he was this crook. Just say I'm not a crook, and it became like that's how you told people you were a crook.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That's how you. That was the Simps. Yeah. It was synonymous with being deceptive.
That's why when I shake people's hands for the first time, I'm like, I'm completely sane.
You got to gaslight them, bro.
That's right. Right from the start.
You got to gaslight
them. Yeah.
I do
and
think.
Then you tickle their palm when you shake their hand. They're like, I don't know what's real.
Let me just say this because we have the lone.
Smell the flower.
Please. Lone crazy gunman theory. Uh-huh. We have the bicyclist was the actual target theory. And then we have this idea that the father, Saeed, was either involved with somehow with Saddam Hussein. Because the bank accounts were at least according to leaked information, they were Saddam or he was somehow connected to him, or his past life or all of that.
I caught up with him.
I believe 100% that there are people in this world where somebody says, take them out. They know, like,
I mean,
we joke about it on here because sometimes, like, you know, we'll be talking about something like this and all of a sudden, like, the power goes out and we're dead.
That's why I don't learn much about anything, because I'm afraid if I know too much, they'll take me out. That's why I'm like, I like nut butter, but I don't want to know enough about it to where the government's like, he knows too much.
Yeah.
Steve takes it out.
That's why people are always like, you should look at the ingredients of what you're eating.
He's right. You know too much.
Ignorance is bliss, man. Yeah, don't.
It's just nut butter, man. Leave me alone.
Please don't.
So that's what Tesla. He's like, he knew too much about nut
butter. George Washington Carver Jr.
Okay. I 100% believe there are people in this world who are powerful enough or have information mm-hmm. that even more powerful people can say, put a hit on them, get them out. And then whoever this guy rolls up.
Some of them
up,
may have ran for president in 2016.
Right, maybe.
These guys rolled up with a gun. He used an old French Swiss gun.
Isn't trackable. There's no serial number.
Right, that's what I'm saying. There's no serial
number. The first thing when you said that was like lunatic. And then it's just like, no, if that's a plan, you know what I mean? Like if that was planned, it's like, oh, yeah, this man's using
That's a
100-year-old gun to kill people.
In the killer for hire Rolodex, there's a guy that they're like,
the year after the crossbow guy.
Yeah, right. Like, there's that guy that they're like, use the wanderer. We need him.
Yeah.
Like,
the
guy with the goatee.
Yeah, they're like, he's untraceable. He uses ancient guns that nobody can shoot.
Yeah.
And the ballistics are always disprovable in court because no one really understands how these gun works and you can't recreate it. So use the wanderer.
Well, I was thinking of like 100-year-old gun. Now you're looking, because it was a gun from 1906, you say?
I think they were first started made in 1906. Luger. Most of them were sold before World War II ended into the Swiss Army. So, you're talking about a 70, at the least a 70-year-old gun. It could be as much as 100 years
old. Okay, because then I'm thinking, all right, now you're getting into where does he get ammo.
Right, I was just saying that. This guy might be special.
No. This man's pressing his own ammo.
He's pressing
If you go wild off, like trying to, because like,
right.
All right, if he's using a gun that old, that and pressing his own ammo, and he's like the wanderer, the guy from Raising Arizona,
right?
He's just a dirty biker, and he's sitting there, you know what I mean? Just out to do a hit. Now I've completely disregard the bicyclist theory. That was all just only believe half of what you see.
Right, right.
And this guy was way more calculated.
He was way more calculated. I'm going to make it look like the bicyclist was the target. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make it look sloppy, but I'm also going to make it look accurate because that's going to send investigators in two different directions.
Did he shoot through the windshield?
No,
all had their windows down?
Windows down.
Windows down.
At least when they were found. I don't know if he rolled the windows down after he opened the
door. Or maybe he shot through the glass and then swept it out.
What is that? What's that company that switches your glass out?
The glass was pushed out. This was an inside job that pushed it.
That's funny.
Yeah. The windows fell out.
The glass wasn't in the car. It was on the outside of the
car. It's crazy. We don't know how to explain it.
Again, if you buy this idea that there's an assassin, which I the more I look at it, the more I think that's probably right, then... The dad is a target potential. The other people were like, well, let's look at the wife.
That's what I was about to say.
Oh,
yeah.
They're like, well, let's look at the wife because maybe that's what's going on. That's why we haven't really found anybody. Mm-hmm. And that's where we get to our final theory, which is just fucking crazy.
Oh,
okay. Well, her name was IQBAL. That's not how you spell it. Not how
she. Elon Musk's daughter.
That's funny. Previous lover.
If I just left that fact out, you may know her as Elon Musk's daughter. You're like, why do you fucking start with that? Why have you waited that long to mention it? She's been married to Saeed but that was not her first marriage.
Mm. Her first marriage was?
Her first marriage.
Walt Disney.
Oh, my God.
No, her first marriage was to a very benign-sounding American guy's name that I didn't write down. I think it's like Paul Thomas or Richard Thomas,
Okay.
She had a marriage that, for the most part, was pretty secret in many ways. Like,
don't tell anybody about this marriage.
her, she did not go by her actual name, which is.
Are you guys married? You acted mega married? No.
We're not married. Well, we rings on our right hand. What it was like one of those marriages, like when they interviewed her former husband's like sisters and friends, they were like, yeah, it was really out of nowhere. Like he just met her. And they were married. Like it caught us all off guard. We had never met her before.
Some people are private.
I don't think that was private. It was like he was open that I just met her.
Oh, like just
and they're just like, yeah, we fell in love and we're getting married. And they're like, wait a second. Like, if a friend of mine called me and it was like, hey man, what are you doing next Friday? And I'm like, I don't. He's like, you want to come to my wedding? And I'm like, who are you marrying? He's like, well, I met this girl a couple of weeks ago. I would be like, dude, are you sure about this? This doesn't sound...
No, I'd be like, I'll come, but I'm not getting you a gift.
I'd be like, that's an open bar.
How much are you paying me? Am I doing time?
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I do think a sudden marriage raises red flags, right? Not like, like each other, but she's pregnant and we just think it'd be better.
Well, the biggest thing is like mental. Yeah, a lot of things come into like, is your mental health okay? Are you? Mm-hmm. Is everything good? Are you, right. Are you like, you know... You're going to want an explanation for sure.
Yeah, I do think, I don't know what that, and I get at different times in people's lives. I know people that have gotten engaged like 2-3 months into dating. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, yeah, we were trying to plan our wedding. And then we're like, why would we spend $25,000 to get married? Why don't we just elope, take that $25,000 and put a down payment on the house? And
makes I'm like, way more
fucking
sense.
Way more sense. I'm not knocking you for.
Yeah. But you want to.
I want to hear that. I want to know, is everything right?
If the
fact that their marriage was very sudden and that they kind of kept it secret was not weird enough. I don't want to mispronounce her name. She did not go by that name. She went by the name Kelly.
That's better for us as people trying to describe names.
Right.
Only reason.
It was a name
waspy folks.
She never used before. Mm-hmm. She's like, so everybody called her Kelly. And then... the relationship ended as suddenly as it began. Mm. And all of a sudden, Kelly was like, this marriage is over. I'm sorry, I'm moving back to Britain. And it was done. It was gone. And promptly disappears.
Oh.
Where they're like, where'd your wife go? And he's like, I don't know. Mm. Like, she's gone.
No note.
No note. No nothing. Just gone. There are people that have friends of hers who have said, I think that she told him what was going on, but he won't say a word about it. She just disappears. A while later, she shows up in Britain and she starts to kind of like reestablish a life. She meets Saeed. They marry. They have a child together. But in interviews, her friends have said, like, ever since she came back to Britain, she was hyper concerned with being tracked. Like, someone would be like, I'll send you an email. And she'd be like, no, they can track email. Just... send it to me in the post. You know, like she was like hyper concerned.
Can't
about.
Can't they track the post too?
Well, I mean, I think they can. I just think that all of her friends said that like it was weird because she had this kind of idyllic life, very wealthy family.
So she married Saeed, disappeared and came back to Saeed or she married a guy.
She married a guy, showed up in the U.S., married a guy, disappeared, divorced him, left him, and then showed up in Britain a while later and then married this guy and then had the kid with him. And like, they were just sort of like an in fashion, wealthy Muslim couple in Britain.
Wow.
You know,
this thing's got layers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So here's so then many people think that like that all adds up to a story that there's something with her that we don't understand.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And their best clue is this. Her former husband in the United States also died on the same day she was murdered.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, on the exact same day that she died in the French Alps. He was found dead with no reason in his home in the United States.
Not even gunshots.
No gunshots, nothing. Her family had him buried very quickly, and then after multiple requests for have him exhumed in autopsy, they refused.
Hmm.
As if they were like, whatever was going on, we don't want to fucking know. But the day she was murdered, her former husband in the United States. So did she say, listen, I've enjoyed my 2 years with you. I'm actually in jeopardy.
Right.
So I'm disappearing. I'm no longer going to be your wife.
Well, he seems to be like, just thinking of like that sort of thing, spies and espionage and covering stuff up. He's just, well, you got to kill him. You don't know what she said to him.
No, that's
you
know right.
You mean? Don't. He's just right. This man knew nothing.
Dead man.
Like, this man, I guarantee
dead man switch.
This man knew nothing.
Dead man switch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So many people in this line of work have a dead man switch, which is smart. If you're like, if I think I'm going to be killed, I would set up a dead man switch.
That feels good though, right? Because that's like if you're somebody's dead man switch, if you're like, I mean, that's got to feel nice.
It's no,
like
it feels you mean terrible.
This, no, it's like you mean this much to me. If I die, you got to go too. It's like
I was Romeo and Juliet.
I am a dead man switch.
Oh, are you?
For somebody?
No shit.
True story.
How do they let you know you're a dead man switch? Is that like a godfather?
I've only ever told this
story. Don't tell us, because then
I know, right?
I'm taking a shot.
Is this the switch?
No. It's
like tag you're in.
If you mention this on a podcast, I'll kill you. He's like, well, this is my dead man switch. So I'm just going to let you guys know about my dead man switch.
No, it's a good one. It's 100% true story. I've only told it once publicly to anybody else. So this is the second time. I had a weed dealer, and he's a typical weed dealer that
I call him friends.
Well, that's what he liked. Yeah,
one of them is on this podcast.
When you go to buy weed, it's never like, hey, can I get this from you? It's like, hey, come on in, dude. Yeah. Then you're like, you got to hang out for a while kind of weed dealer. And it was sometimes.
You got that new album by the weed?
Man, every time my weed dealer comes by, we got to do two podcasts.
So that's hilarious. So we did it. You know, he always wants to get you high, and he always wants to be like, it's never the stuff that I was going to buy. He's like, I've got some stuff in you got to try, and it's, you know, it's always crazy. So we got really high, and we're talking, and then he gets super serious.
Oh,
he's like,
shit.
He's like, hey.
I used to work at Ruzz.
He's like, can I trust you?
I used to work at Hot Topic.
And I'm like, yes. He's like, sure. If I ask you to do something, will you say yes? And I'm like, not till I know. He's like, I cannot tell you what it is, but will you say yes? And I'm like, this is like something out of Harry Potter, you know? I'm like, okay, I'm
gonna make
and
the most innocent. This is something.
This is like, man, this is almost like a children's story.
Dark than Harry Potter.
Yeah, it's like a fun dark crystal.
Yeah. So he says, if anything ever happens to me, you have to get to my house before my parents do.
Wow.
And if you do that, you're going to do something for me and you're going to get a reward. And he has this like shelf of books and he goes and he pulls this book open and he like opens the book and it's like carved out with cash in it. He's like, you get all this cash that's in this book. Mm. He's like, but in my dresser, third drawer down on the left, he opens it up. He's like, there's a pocket pussy in this pocket pussy. He's like, my mom can't find this pocket pussy if something ever happens to me. And I'm
so
like,
funny.
Are you fucking serious? He's like, yeah, can I trust you to do this? And I'm like, so like, basically,
I'm just saying the movie scene where it's like from inside the trunk and Justin opens the trunk and goes and buries a pocket pussy in like Yosemite National Park or something.
He opens the trunk. It's like Pulp Fiction. It's a golden glow.
That's a true, that's a 100, yeah, everything I said in that is absolutely 100% true.
Wow.
He asked me to like, I get his money in his book.
What if his parents are in the house when he dies? You got to come up with a reason to get him out of the house.
I got
to
light it on
fire.
What if
he dies using the pocket pussy? You're just like,
oh, no. He's so dead.
I go into the book and it just has a note in there that says thanks. And the money's gone. And I'm like,
God, no money.
Right? Leave me a...
Or it's just
joints.
Or it's Steve Bucks. He printed his face on these dollars. It's like good for one free sandwich from
he gives you like the anniversary coupon. Free back scratch by whoever I'm dating.
Yeah,
at the
and
time.
It's like none
redeemable
of these are good here.
Immediately.
Yeah,
that's funny. Try to use that coupon in a place that accepts competitors' coupons. right. Maybe. We take
hey, I got a blowjob 45% off. You think you guys can give me a 50% off, BJ?
That's hilarious. That's a funny bit. So he dies the same exact day as her. They won't let him perform an autopsy. And in this scenario, what went down was exactly what we said. Like, somebody finally tracked her down. She knew, and she was like, we have to get out of here. And he's like, I can get to my father's money in Geneva. Like, good, let's go to the Alps. Let's get out of here. Mm. She's going along. She's some kind of spy, something covert. She sees the guy in the goatee, and she's like, it's the Wanderer. Turn around, go. And then it's like,
oh, shit.
Yeah. And then there's this biker, and he's like, sorry, dude. Babadook. And somebody's like, please, not my daughter. Let my daughter live. And so he's like, just hits her in the shoulder. She, like, you know, I mean, the shoulder is always where they shoot somebody when they don't want them to die.
All right, if they got money, though,
that they can get to.
If they got money that they could get to, mom, take Laura.
Man.
Use your passports and get out of the country. Me and Alan, we're going across the Alps.
Okay,
and we're going to be followed by our bicyclist friend.
Here's what I think, and this is a good kind of like way to get to final thoughts. Is I think that sitting here like armchair quarterbacking an escape plan.
It's easy.
That's like true. In the midst of it, where you're like, we have to fucking go. Like I remember, and this is probably the scariest thing I've ever done with a father.
That's true. They might have been on like a vacation, and then she gets like the burp, and you're like, oh shit.
It's right. Like when you're walking down the street in Times Square and a guy hands you one of those little cards. You're like, this is it. I got to figure out, do I take it? Do I not take it? I don't want to have to explain to him that I'm throwing it away two seconds from now on the street because they don't recycle anyway.
Scariest thing that I've ever done in my life.
Worldwide espionage is like taking flyers from random people. Remember that, guys.
It's the same anxiety.
How bad is your anxiety? That taking a flyer is like getting a call. They're going to murder your whole family.
It's similar. I'm an empath.
That's funny.
My anxiety's gotten that bad before. After a night of heavy drinking, that's how bad my anxiety is.
let me just say this real quick. One of the scariest things I've ever done as a father is I had to sit down with my wife, because my wife and I talked about it, and we're like, we got to talk to the kids about this. Is like, what do we do in the event that our children are still our children, meaning they're still living at home, and there's some sort of widespread regional, national, world collapse in like communication or information. You know what I'm saying?
Right, it's like you can't get on Instagram.
Like I know, like, look, I lived through like the crazy snowstorm of 2005 or six, where like the entire city of Raleigh just fucking collapsed from a quarter inch of snow.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, phone systems, landlines, cell phone lines. Mm-hmm. You couldn't talk to anybody. Mm-hmm. People waited. Like, everybody has a fucking story.
Instead of like a power plant goes down or the grid shuts down.
And and again, you're like, well, I'll just call them. And you're like, well, let's imagine you're at that time where your cell phone doesn't have any battery. And you're like, well, there's no way to charge my battery. And like, I can't find anybody. And I can't call anybody to get a battery. And I can't get on social media and say like, hey, I need a battery. Like, when shit collapses, it collapses really fucking quick. So we had to sit down with our kids and be like, in the event of a collapse, right, you go to this location and you wait 7 days, right? And then after that 7 days, you go, and when I say go, we're talking the next spot is like 2 hours away.
Right. So you better start walking.
Well, no, like you start walking and this is the route you take. And we made them trace the route. Like, and we repeat, like, where do you go in the case of a collapse? Because again, it's like, my thing is like, I just, at that point, if it's been 10 days, you have to walk around.
What does a collapse look like to you? Just the grid shut off and like everybody's
pandemonium. There's no peaches at Whole Foods.
Look.
Wetman's is not a dragon fruit.
Trust me. Oh, no. Trust me, man. That ice storm in Raleigh, like it's still seared. I didn't have kids at the time. It's still seared into my mind because of like how quickly you saw, like the governor of North Carolina, the mayor of Raleigh, like they were all stuck in traffic that they couldn't get out of.
Fuck
a police escort. A police escort can't do anything if you're in fucking gridlock.
Yeah. Yeah.
People parked their cars and walked 5-6 hours home because they're like, at least I'll get home.
Dude, I had to take a shit in my car and I was safe at home. I'm just an empath.
You just fucking... Yeah, it was a fucking...
I could feel the world suffering.
And again, that didn't last that long. The next morning, we all woke up and people were like, this is crazy. But
I woke up thinking, like, fuck, man.
Right.
It doesn't take a lot.
No, it's that's why no, I didn't have kids.
No, bro, we're done all yeah. of a sudden. Like, you know yeah. what I mean? Yeah, like, all the whole thing falls apart right. all of a sudden. Yes. It's not like a gradual, it's no. one thing and we're yeah. done.
We're like, yeah. yes. The yeah. fucking cell phones went down.
And then they're going to leave it up to us. The funniest thing to me is if it all shuts down, leaving it up to small enclaves to figure out their own government. Because everybody's got this thing. Most preppers have like this thing where it's gonna, I'm going to be the lone guy in the woods
no, you're not.
With the
no,
gun
you're
not. And my hound dog. You're going to have to form tribes and people.
Yeah, you're not seeing Survivor.
Just, yeah. It's going to be funny people trying to like piece shit back together and it's try to like figure out like
I've said that
every- who's going to grow crops. It's going to be funny watching people be like, why don't we be socialists? And I'm like, hell no!
No.
I earned these bullets when y'all were fucking...
Like, I say that to every person I know that stockpiles guns when they're just like, I keep all the guns so when stuff
goes
wrong...
Yeah, what are you
going to
do?
No, well, I say, you know what? It sounds like you're the first house that the militia's coming into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To like, take your shit.
Your only hope is to be like...
The only hope you have at that point in time is you're either a supreme badass leader type... Or you better be agreeable.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys need my crops to because 50 of you got together. Because friends are going to be getting with friends. You know what I mean?
If you
have buddies, you're not going to attack the end of the world by yourself.
Right.
You're going to be like, hey, what are you guys doing?
And guess what those enclaves don't need?
What?
Like open mic comedians.
Yeah,
sure. No skill. I'm not going to be like, I'll keep it light for everybody. Set every night.
Like me and my, like this is a sketch.
Can you hunt?
This is a sketch me and my brother were talking about, but it's like, I think we're thinking about doing it with Patreon, I guess, let people know. But like, it's like that scenario, but people trying to rewrite the Bible because it's like post-apocalyptic, but and nobody really read the Bible, so people are just like, gays can't get married, and they're like, did it say that? And they're like, nobody read that shit. We just showed up, so nobody judged.
Right.
Like it's like a post-apocalyptic group of people trying to rewrite religious textbooks.
You can't eat shrimp. It's like, but we love shrimp, and that's all that's available.
No, that's just Jews. By show of hands, is anybody Jewish? No. We can eat shrimp.
This is a CBS TV show.
Yeah.
It is. It is.
You said it is a CBS.
No, it should
that's
be.
Funny.
CBS would buy this show. They're like, let's just see how well America knows their Bible.
Yeah, it's just post-apocalyptic. Like, we were just realizing nobody in the church, like people, like we would realize, like somebody like the preacher would be like, and it's like the Bible said, everything that glitters ain't gold. We're like, it does not fucking say that.
That was Jay-Z.
But this is very interesting, man.
That's a Tupac lyric.
Yeah, it is. It is.
That's why there was a movement a while ago, and you probably have seen it, like where a Bible where the words of Jesus are in red.
Oh yeah,
and that's the result of like a real famous group that is very controversial.
It seems like it was a mistake, like your teacher.
Right, right.
It.
That's like what you're talking about. It's written in red, but it's like that MAGA red.
I was just laughing.
It's like Jesus,
Jesus spoke in Mark Twain. They're like, we ain't going down there and touch them boys.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Well, back to our story and our murder.
We've been
having fun.
This has been off the beaten path.
We're 2 hours in.
I think this is. I lean towards the idea that it was an assassin.
Mm-hmm.
I think that like people have said, well, is the father the target? Is she the target? What was up with the husband? Like. I think that it all starts and ends with her. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the thing in Florida, and if she was, like, I do think this. I do think she genuinely loved him, right? Mm-hmm. And then they had a daughter together. But, like, whether that was part of her job or whether that was wrapped up in whatever covert thing she was doing, like, they wanted to escape something. They fled the country. They fled Britain. They were in the Alps. They were trying to figure out their next move, and I think an assassin killed them.
Okay.
That's my theory.
I can hop on with it.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Shane, you got
my final thoughts.
as an empath, I felt like I was shot that day.
Yeah, seven holes. I pee out my chest. It's horrible.
I'm like a colander.
That's right. People keep picking me up and straining things. My final thoughts are, I think, it sucks that big petroleum controls everything. And, recycling doesn't matter. Recycling does not matter. Just throw it in the trash.
Final thoughts. Call forward thinking.
Yeah.
Called forward thought.
How far away was the motorcyclist from the car?
It was seen by another passing by car.
No, but I need to know the distance between the car and the motorcyclist.
When you say what car?
The car where people were shot in the head. Family.
I don't know, Shane.
Because that's a big thing.
No, it's not.
Sure it is. Like if
a
he's
guy,
shot,
when you say a guy on a bike, was he on a bicycle?
Motorcycle.
Which guy? The, with the weird helmet?
Motors
goatee?
No, the one that got shot.
Bicycle.
Bicycle. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's what I thought. That's what. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm on board.
Yeah. So bicycle. How we don't know how far he was from.
I'm sure they know. I'm just saying. I don't know to tell you.
Okay.
I don't think it matters.
No, I think it would because if that bike is close to the car. It could definitely be family because he could have his hand on the windowsill. He's like, "Hey, how's my family doing?" Then all of a sudden, pow, 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 and they just happen to get shot.
Okay, well, think about it.
The same spot.
Think about it. Just, no, they were not shot in the same spot.
Oh, well, see,
headshots are, dude. Even from this distance right here, 5 feet for those of you who can't see me in a room.
Yeah, it's a small
like
room.
That's a headshot's difficult.
A headshot, unless you're point blank,
headshot is difficult.
Yeah, but there's those YouTubers that play COD all the time.
Yeah, no, but what I'm saying is,
they didn't get COD till like
if somebody points a gun at me,
yeah,
right, where I think they're gonna act like not where like I think I have some bargaining power, where I'm like I'm dead,
yeah,
I'm immediately ducking my head,
yeah, and zigzag.
I mean, not in a car, but banging my head against a steering wheel.
That leaves me, but like I don't even know if silencers are built for Lugers. So now you're into like he built his own silencer.
That's what I'm saying. It's clearly like a guy that like he ran it through a banana or something, and like or a papaya,
or like a toilet paper tube, and you know, dryer sheets.
Yeah, it's like he created a silencer. And then, you know, you put it
in. I'm just thinking like a world class hitman drilling a hole in a papaya.
He's like, that's how they never catch me.
Like, he's just in a dark with like a light on his helmet, just like.
Yeah, dude, because bees come and eat the evidence.
Yeah.
Then I fit him.
It's so easy because you just, if you're in a motorcycle and you hear, beep, beep, you just pull over and they're like, what are you doing, sir? And he's like, I'm just eating this grilled papaya.
He's like, I was just shooting this papaya to death.
And they're like, okay.
The papaya came at me first.
Are you sure that papaya wasn't used as a silencer?
I know, dude. No.
Okay. We believe
you. Yeah, that sounds crazy. What are you talking about?
I don't
about?
Believe you, but your goatee speaks honesty. Yeah,
that's definitely a papaya silencer goatee if I've ever seen one.
So. All right. Oh, you got a final thought?
<That sounds good. laughs> I don't think I've had a thought this entire episode.
I did, but it was on other things. And I was like, oh, I'm doing a podcast. I got to come back.
All right. Well, this is why we love our patrons, because you think this stuff's funny, because we certainly do. And you guys are great for supporting us. As we've said many times, the official Conspiracy Beer Me headquarters open up on Friday. We'll reach out if you're in the Raleigh area. I know that we'll see you soon. And thanks for listening. Aaron, where can our folks find you, follow you?
Hey, man. Instagram, Aaron4Ransom. It's just Aaron Ransom, all lowercase with four in the middle. It's a picture of me and Dolly Parton.
Hell yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Love just Dolly. Go check that out. And I'll promote some shows. I got some stuff coming up in Wilmington,
very
North Carolina.
Cool.
Fun
very
stuff,
cool.
man.
All right.
Next time you should say my friend Dolly. And then when people go and look, they're like, holy shit, he knows Dolly Parton.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's how you sound famous.
This has been Conspiracy Beer Me. I am Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith, and this was
Aaron Ransom.
Peace.